May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 966. Happy are they to whom the Lord his gracious name makes known, and by his Spirit and his word adopts them for his own. 966.
Thank you.
read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is, being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
O kind and most merciful God, for truly that is no exaggeration, as we come into thy house of prayer today, Lord, thou hast brought many of us through various trials and times of distress since we gathered here last. But nevertheless, we would not overdwell on these things. We come before thee, Lord, with such things of great importance. For, Lord, we age have a never-dying soul, either to be lost or to be saved. Therefore, Lord, we pray today that thou wilt suffer us to come unto thee. We don't believe thou never hast driven a coming sinner away from thee, but thou hast ever encouraged them to come unto thee. Thou hast said, "Come, whosoever will." But alas, so often we find destitution of the will of the creature to come, looking and turning to other means. But nevertheless, we ask of thee, thou send thy Holy Spirit down and dwell amongst us here, that of a truth it may be proved to each and every one of us that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh it profiteth nothing. So, Lord, we ask of thee that thou begin with us, Lord, every age group in this place, both young and old alike. For Lord, as we have learnt sadly sometimes, none are too young to die, and the old will certainly die. Therefore, Lord, let that solemn stillness and holy reverence fill our minds, that we might worship thee, Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We ask thee, Lord, to bless thy word this day throughout this land, and ask thee, Lord, that thou'd make even this little place at Swavesey a favoured spot, a place to remember. That, Lord, it may be so, as we read in the last part of Ezekiel, and the Lord was there. Oh, we ask thee, oh, for this blessing. Oh, that Ezekiel saw there. And oh, may we know it to be so. Lord, if thou art here, then who shall stand in his own boldness and self-righteousness? If thou, Lord, art here, will not thy holy influence fall upon us to humble us under thy almighty hand? Lord, we pray that if thou art here, will thou not make us each one in Christ Jesus, thy own dear Son? For this, O Lord, we desire, oh, that we might know and feel here today. We pray, Lord, for unity, Lord, in the singing of the hymns, in the reading of thy word, in, Lord, our prayers before thee, and also, Lord, in the preaching of the word. Oh, Lord, we do ask thee for unity. Oh, within this place and every other place of worship where thou art worshipped in spirit and in truth. For, Lord, oh, there cannot be a joining together unless Jesus Christ is in the midst. We ask thee, Lord, to remember those who are maybe in trouble, in difficulties, wondering where the scene will end, tempted, Lord, that thy judgment shall come upon them, or some affliction, some loss, some gain, that shall bring them much trouble in life's journey. How oft times we have been mistaken and thought that profit will bring gain, but how different, Lord, it has proved to be. And so, Lord, it is so that the more we have, the more we want, and there is trouble, because it turns us, Lord, away from thee. But nevertheless, we will be thankful for all thy mercies, great or small, that thou dost continually provide for our needs. Thou dost hear us still at the throne of grace. Yea, thou dost bow down thine ear because we are poor and needy. So, Lord, carry on thy good work amongst thy people here and elsewhere, through this land and through this world. We ask thee, Lord, to fit and prepare us for the changes in life's journey. For we realise that the sands of time are sinking, and it cannot be long for some of us, Lord, to leave this world and bid adieu to all. But, Lord, oh, we would not be too secure, we would not be fleshly confident. Oh, but we might have that rich blessing of thine, that the Lord has blessed us, favoured us, and washed our many sins away. Oh, we grant us a right understanding of regeneration, a right understanding of the washing away of sins. We often speak of it as coming to the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, may we have right views, Lord, of this. For Lord, when thou didst suffer, bleed, and die upon Calvary, and thou didst say with that wondrous voice of thine, it is finished, why all were washed, all were forgiven, all sins were far removed. But it is so that we long to know it, we long to feel it, and we pray that we might know that Jesus in heaven still reigns, who suffered for our sakes and here upon us. We do ask thee, Lord, for grace. Oh, much grace, Lord, because our instability is such. Lord, we find the difficulties in believing. We cannot believe without thy grace. So lead us forth by the right way, that we might be found amongst those who look for a city whose builder and whose maker is God, and find that this world is nothing but a waste, howling wilderness. It surely is, Lord. I say, what benefits can we find here below that shall endure forever? There's only one benefit, Lord, and is that which let us work within us by thy Holy Spirit, and that is that we may be born again, quickened by thy Spirit, new life within, a taking away of the stony heart, and giving, Lord, us a heart anew and afresh. Oh, Lord, there needs to be much within us to be rearranged, changed, and altered by thee. It cannot, Lord, be done by ourselves, because our past has proved that we are so full of mistakes. Lord, we pray that we may not repeat mistakes in our life in this sad condition. But, O Lord, as one has said, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Oh, but that righteousness which is found in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, we would not multiply words before thee. Thou knowest, Lord, our limitations. We wouldn't overemphasize this, because, Lord, with thee all things are possible, and that we would trust in thee and no one else. So, Lord, do come in the fullness of the gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and wipe some weeping eyes and cause them to rejoice in Jesus alone. So, Lord, we would humbly fall into thy dear hands. Help one, Lord, now. Help one, we pray, and lift us, Lord, above many things. May we be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.
Hymn 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462.
Let us turn together to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and reading verse 25. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And you notice the various characters that were blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter. They were named. We're told who they were, where they came from, and the whole structure of their life. But this woman, what are we told about her? There seems to be nothing at all that we are told about her. Who she was, her parents, her family. We're not told what nationality she was, what colour skin she had, but we're told she had this illness that is common to some and in some places, and it was indeed a killer to her and to everybody else if not touched and attended to. We're told that she had been everywhere possible, it would seem, before. But it was at a cost. At a cost. And what was the effect? It had no good effect whatsoever. She seemed to grow worse and worse. Does that not describe your state and your condition, sinner? Do things improve in your life? In your character, your nature, your spirit? Yea, do you find hindrances in your daily life? Things you're able to do and cannot do? These things are most irritating to the flesh. We cannot switch on automatically submission to it. But the Lord does bring his people submissive to it. But what a better place can we be brought to than this dear lady was brought to. She heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, is there one of you here today that can say, I've never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? I say, oh, in spirit and in truth. But Jesus tells us this, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Many sheep might hear the shepherd's voice, but they would not necessarily follow him if they do not belong to him, if they have not been brought up under his tender care and training. I say, what a mercy to be arrested by the voice of the Good Shepherd. I must come to him. How often it seems like this, that people will say, but I am not good enough. The more I strive against sin, the worse I got. Is it not so? What a blessing when the Lord causes a poor sinner to hear his voice. One of our hymns says this, bring no money, price or aught. It is free grace. It can't be bought. So this dear woman, she had to learn this lesson. When everything else had gone, she got no more reserves left. Nothing she could bring or offer the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, how is it with you, poor sinner? How is it with you? How do you come this day unto Jesus Christ? I say, it's against our independence. Nature, to take something for nothing or to expect something for nothing. But when you've got nothing and have been brought down to bedrock bottom, how suitable it is for your case when the verdict is there's nothing to pay. There's nothing to pay. And why? Because it's free. I want to say something else. Why is it free? Because, my friend, the Lord knew our case and situation, and that if it wasn't free, then we could never be saved. I know there are sections of people who cannot bear the terminology of free and sovereign grace. But sinner, where would you and I be if that was not so? Is there only a hope? It's a good hope through grace, friends. It can never fail. The whole structure of it is designed not by the creature, but by Almighty God. So we read here, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Why? She was not indeed a casual inquirer, but a certain woman. But who was she? So you might say, ask the question, who is she? But the great question is, who are we? Is there indeed a relationship to be found in your poor heart between a just and holy God, unknown to any man? Amen. There are many people in that crowd and in that company, but who knew her? And therefore it might be said, will the Lord know a person like this? Will a person know such a sinner as I? Oh, must I not come in incognito, yea, to the Saviour? That is an impossibility, my friend. You can never hide yourself from him. Although that whole multitude doesn't know you and from whence you have come, but my friend, the Lord knows you. He sees you coming. He knows the desires of your heart, the sad condition of your body, the failure of all other physicians, yea, who you suffered much at, and also been robbed of every penny you possessed, maybe. A certain woman. Oh, I say, are you that certain person that the Lord has brought you to come to no one else but him? A certain woman. She did not want to be an exhibitionist. We know some folk are like that. But no, she did it that she might, in such a way that she may be hid. What a mercy, you can never be hid from the Lord Jesus Christ. In prayer, he says, I know my sheep. I know everyone. They have this mark on them, has it not? Yea, a broken and a contrite spirit. One who feels to be an outcast, a stranger, a wayward one. Yes, found in a waste howling wilderness. But a certain woman, she couldn't remain in that condition anymore, can you? Can you? I will be careful what I say now. There was nothing really to hinder her from coming but for the crowd. And there's nothing to hinder you from coming but for the crowd. And so often it is the crowd of doubts and fears that arise in your heart. How can I come? I have ignored him all these years and had no desire in my heart to come and tell it all unto Jesus. I have no particular attraction to this man. He's but a mere Galilean. And oh, in his appearance and costume, there's nothing attractive. All these things have to be swept away. It's come now, as it were, for the woman, as she would surely die. I say, a certain woman. There's something very beautiful about this. Jesus knew all those people that came to him that day. He knew the names of them, but he didn't disclose. And when the steward told who she was, and not necessarily we should be told who you are, but nevertheless, he brings the poor sinner to his feet, a certain woman. Yes. Well, we hear Jesus say, who touched me? For she had said, as to herself, I take it. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. What a wonder that is, that you should come and touch his clothes. Yes, even come as close as that. And thus, she said, I shall be made whole. She was not disappointed. And what makes you think for one moment that such a sinner as you and I should be disappointed? She was made whole. Oh, I say, how in many things we need to be made whole. Often, you know, we come to this. We find ourselves in need. We're not detected by other people. How ignorant and how badly taught we are, my friends, and therefore we seek to hide it. We have to say, it's no good. I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't understand it. But God speaks by his servant James and says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. A certain woman brought to a knowledge of him whom she didn't know before. Has it been your desire, Lord, teach me more of thyself? Make me to know thy way and the way wherein thou wilt teach me. Save me, Lord, from dictating to thee, telling thee what I must know and what I have no need to know. My friends, the Lord has a set way for every person to bring them to his feet, a certain woman. Why, she was taught of God in an experimental way. And she came and touched the Lord Jesus Christ. But who is this woman? Why, when she heard him say, who touched me? Who was it that came and touched me? Why, she heard Jesus say that. She had to say within herself, it was me that touched him. When she saw she couldn't be hid, no longer. There may be one here this morning who says, I can no longer hide myself. I shall have to come and confess what I've done. but more so, I must confess what Jesus has done for me, worked in you and for you too, I say. The unknown soul, the unknown character, who touched me? Jesus knew who it was. He'd caused the dear woman not to run away from him, but to draw her by his irresistible grace closer and nearer to you, to him. Say, who touched me? Friend, she came and told him all. Is there a better place to come, whoever you might be, than to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell him all? He knows all, but nevertheless he would have confessed all before him and to praise him for all and seek to cling and cleave unto him for all. Oh, see how he speaks to that dear woman. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Why, in verse 33, we read, but the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. I say, that certain woman, that certain person, is it you? Come fearing, trembling. Oh, some would come in a very joyful way and be grateful of beams of sunshine, as it were, all praise to themselves for what they had done, but not so the child of God. There's a deep sense of shame and unworthiness of such a blessing, such a favour, that the Lord should do for you which no one else could do, and has promised so to keep you and to preserve you. In verse 34 he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Go in peace. Is it not a confirmation to you that your former condition will not and cannot return? Oh yes, we sometimes sing, don't we, take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. Isn't this the essence of true God-fearing repentance? Not to return in the paths of sin. Some might say, well, in that case then I shall miss out on so much. Friends, it's better to lose everything of this world than to lose your never dying soul. To lose your never dying soul is to enter into misery and torment forevermore. See how she has the opposition again of the disciples. We read of several instances in Scripture where the disciples were a hindrance to such souls who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a certain woman, though they would respect the disciple to a certain extent, that they're not our God, they're not our Saviour, they will not have the last word in the matter. But Jesus will have the last word in the matter. He will not turn away the coming sinner, will he? I say, bless his dear name, if that is so with you. A certain woman, she came, my friend, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, did she not? She would look into no other than to this one in the crowd. There may have been a lot of Galileans with him there, his disciple, but the only one she wanted to know and to have dealings with, and that was Jesus. There's something beautiful about that. To come to the right place, to come with that touch of his clothes. Some would say, well, what virtue can there be in touching material? It wasn't that. It was coming to him, a desire to know more of him and to be relieved from her plague. And surely the Lord drew her as she come. It's a good hymn, isn't it? If thou press on, the crowds will fly. Yes, how the Lord helps a poor sinner to press on. Man might say, well, if the woman's in that state and condition of health, how could she muster strength to come to Jesus? A certain woman did so, friend, and he gave her the strength so to do. Has he given you the same strength so to do? I really don't know how I've got here, how the Lord has brought me here. But, oh, I must come. I must come. I've heard of him, and now I believe in him. Now, indeed, I'm certain of him. Now I have this sweet and full assurance of him that he's able to heal me of all my diseases. He's able indeed to strengthen me and to maintain me. And it gives her that comfort, does he not, for the future too. Oh, I say, what a wonder that is. How we not often been tried and deeply concerned lest we should backslide to the place where we were brought from. Oh, I say, we find backsliding to be a disease of itself. He speaks by Hosea, saying, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and has suffered many things of many physicians, has spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Oh, I say, before perhaps you haven't bothered even to have respect unto the name of Jesus. How often we have sung together, if unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night. And yet I say, with no depth of feeling, with no urgency, but now, when afflictions come upon you, there's that depth of urgency. Lord, look upon me. Have mercy upon me. Though I've not been found in the company before, though I'm not known of many, or if any, but Lord, now I come amongst those who know me not. So often, people are singled out by what they know and who they know. There's only one person that can bring you out, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. What a love he's ever shown to the poor and to the needy, to the outcast. It's something that often irks me when I hear people say, but they're not one of us. Is that so? Not one of us. But the great question really is, am I one of them? Shall I among them stand? Shall I be found at his right hand when thou for me shalt call? I say, she heard of Jesus. How often, oh, we find the outcast come and the Lord gives to them those single blessings that they stand in need of, that he'll never deny them of. And a certain woman. Now I want to come into this world as we read it here. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She came as far as she dare. She came as far as she could. She came as far as necessary. Oh, I say, how is it with you and I in our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? We may be tempted that you're setting conditions down by which Jesus got to work. It was not that at all. But she surely had an uncertainty of herself, how near she ought to come to him, such a worthless creature as she was. But she desired to come to him with all due reverence and respect. My friend, and the Lord knew it. What a difference there was in her heart and life compared with the multitude round about her. For undoubtedly, as the disciples said, in a crowd like this, many people would have pressed him and touched him, but not effectively. This woman came as she had prayed and vowed before the Lord, oh, if I may but touch his clothes. What a beauty she found, even in coming and touching the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I'm sure of, the closer we come to him, the nearer we would come to him. We read of John in the Gospels that at their meal times, and times of quietness, John was often there. He leant and rested on Jesus' bosom. He was not ashamed of making it manifest. I say, a certain man. He had a pathway before him. Indeed, he was the last of the apostles to die or be martyred. We read that, well, on the Isle of Patmos, yes, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And a certain person, my friend, some would say, oh, I'd love to be in that favoured position of John. Would you? Thus has suffered so many things for the Lord's sake. Yes, imprisoned in bond on the Isle of Patmos. By the force of circumstance of imprisonment, he was taken away from the seven churches which he was passed over, and he could but write to them. But he needs informing all about them. And I'm sure, as a good pastor, he wanted to be assured and informed of them. Oh, I say, it wasn't all good tidings for John. But one thing is, this man was certain. He was a faithful minister of the Lord. Oh, we remember when Jesus was instructing Peter, and Peter said, "And what shall this man do? Don't pile it all on me. Is it what? If he should suffer and die, and I be found when I come again, would it not be right and well?" But that was not so, was it? The Lord would close one mouth to open another. Oh, to have right views of the Lord Jesus Christ, as surely John did, and Peter. Yes, a certain woman, she came and touched him. She had right views of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often the temptation runs like this. But was I right in this? And did I obtain the blessing rightly? Friends, you can never obtain the blessing wrongly. The Lord doesn't answer sinners in a sinful way. He surely gives the blessing to whom he needs the blessing, not just to them who ask him. Friends, the truth is, she needed it. And I say, do you need it in like manner as she did? Oh, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one thing we have to examine too, and does he deny the blessing today? Is it withheld from all and sundry? That's not so, is it? It's not so. Oh, come whosoever will, and neither strive to mend, for sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. Friend, we need it. And that is why he brings us to him. He sees our condition through and through. And so everything synchronizes by God's goodness and mercy. Yes, the workings in your heart and the workings of his love toward you, that these things may all be fulfilled within you, that his name may be honored and praised. A certain woman. There may be some here this morning that are surely exercised with regard to the ordinances of his house, and say, "Well, I'm not fit for that." We've heard that many times. I could not sit amongst the Lord's people at the Lord's table. They're holy people. Who told you they were holy? And a certain woman, she came, and the Lord works mightily in the heart. "Lord, I have to come. I have to come. I want you to heal me of this self-righteousness, that self-importance, the idea something must be given to me in a spectacular way." My friend, she came to him. I don't want to make big show of it. I'd rather it was hidden under the counter, as they say. Friends, but no, he gives, and he has a sovereign right to make known what he gives, because all the honour and all the glory is his. You won't come to the ordinances of his house exalting your own honour and glory, looking down upon others as if you're in a state and class better than the rest? No. Surely you'll come as poor and needy sinners, dependent upon the grace and righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how she came. She came, my friend, and evermore, I'm sure, as a desire to follow him. Follow him. Is that true? You say, well, that's speculation on your part. We're not told so. No. But can we receive such blessings as this and cast it away forever and say it was nothing, it was all sheer imagination on my part? No, my friends. The Lord said that he would so bless her and her plague would not return unto her. And I say, neither will the plague return to you. There was always one thing, or several things, I feared in joining the church, lest I should return to the same way of carrying on as I had before. That somebody should annoy me, do something to me, and all evil let loose within me. Oh, friends, what a reality that was. And how oft times, oh, it has driven us to the throne of grace. Lord, save me. Shut my mouth. Shut my lips. Forbear my threatening in any form. Oh, I say, a certain woman, like you and I, left to themselves, a wretched, dying sinner. But Jesus had said, if they smite thee upon one cheek, then offer them the other. Oh, I say, he never stimulates retaliation in a poor sinner. Oh, how hard that has proved to be from time to time. But nevertheless, my friend, that the Lord must uphold and keep his people and prevents them from behaving in such a way, saving them from the power of Satan and a certain woman. Why, we're not told that she became a baptized member with Jesus Christ. But it wouldn't surprise me at all. No, it would not. And neither would it surprise some to find others in their midst, desiring to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It wouldn't surprise them, because most likely they have been praying that the Lord would work in them and for them too. It wouldn't surprise them. They have not been able to speak to you because they would not put their hand to it. But they used the channels that God has opened and by which he freely gives and causes his people to be brought together in a sacred bond of love. Oh, that certain woman. She was certainly outstanding. And I would just say this before I close. And it's this: she was an example to them. She was an example. She followed the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. Oh, she came, yea, before them, and it was made known. Fearing, trembling, yes, fearing that, oh, it would all come to naught, it would all end in ruin. But to her wondrous surprise and to the glory of God, she felt that sudden change within us. There must be a change. The Holy Spirit says you must be born again. The old life to be taken away and a new life to begin. A desire now to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not simply for what you might be obtained, but to find and discover that he is precious, he is a treasure to thee. Even as the Apostle Peter so speaks of Jesus in his preciousness. Oh, I say, that certain woman found him most precious. The Lord gave to her that no other creature could give. And the reason why he gave it to her, because he is a merciful Saviour. He is a forgiving Jesus. And the reason why he should forgive you and have compassion upon you is because his sacred love and the love of God the Father that sent Jesus down from heaven to stand in your place and stead and to give unto his sheep eternal life and to present them in such a way that he can surely say, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. No, what a hand that is. Jesus knew your hand touching his clothes, but you have known what it is for Jesus' hand to touch your sinful body and to impart to you heavenly virtues, new life within, restoration, I say, yea, of the old creature, to put the soul's trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to these few simple remarks. May he give you some crumb from his table that you might take home for yourself and feast thereon. I can't give you anything, but your Jesus can and has done all things well. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £670, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure, unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059.
we pray, oh, cover all our faults and failings with that mantle of thy forgiving love. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.